Over the last couple weeks, as I have been journeying myself into Isaiah, I have actually struggled more than what you realize in terms of how I communicate what I am discovering from Isaiah. And I was trying to think of a way to explain to you my struggle, and I came up with an image that I think might be helpful to you, and certainly is very helpful to me. When I think of the prophecies of Isaiah that anticipate what is real about Jesus now, I picture the prophecies like a clear night sky full of stars. Now, hopefully all of you have seen a clear night sky full of stars. If you haven't, where have you been? It means you've never left the city because you go out of the city and you see the night sky full of stars. Yes? And what we're trying to do each Sunday is to pick out one star to focus on. Now, imagine if you're standing with someone in the countryside at night and the sky is full of stars and the person says to you, "Oh, look at that star." And you say to them, "Which one?" And they say to you, "Oh, that one." And you say, "Okay." So because you don't want to start to argue about something so beautiful, you say, "Yeah, isn't it wonderful?" Even though you're not sure that you're looking at the same star that they're looking at. The prophecies of Isaiah are just like that. When I try to focus us on one, there are other stars so closely attached, and galaxies of stars, just this, all these stars that we don't talk about, but when we read the passage, some of you see. So I'm talking about this one star, and your minds are starting to think about these. Or I don't properly limit myself to this one star, and I end up talking about a cluster of stars. And even then, leave off so many things that could be said. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about this one prophecy, this one star coming from Isaiah 7, verse 14, where God invites an evil king to ask for a sign. And when he refuses, we read the following words: "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." And we looked at that prophecy in its setting and began to look at what that meant fulfilled in Christ. And it was hard to just talk about one star. Last week, we looked at the promise from Isaiah 9 that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned that Matthew 4 says is speaking of Jesus. And then we talked about the details of this star. Or maybe it was some other stars about Jesus, that he's a wonderful counselor, mighty God. He displays the qualities of God's compassionate rule so that people think of him and through him to the Father as an everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. And even though I tried to focus us on that one star, I hope your minds weren't frustrated that there's so much more. But that, like standing under a clear night sky, there are so many beautiful things about the reality of Jesus that we see in the prophet Isaiah. Last week, many look at the initial fulfillment of that prophecy that for us a child is born, to us a son is given, is that it refers to Hezekiah, born to evil King Ahaz. Let me read to you what it says about Hezekiah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. How wonderful it would have been if we took the cluster of stars and compared Hezekiah to Jesus and saw some similarities. But then, as we thought about Jesus, we would have seen so much more in Jesus if we had been able to go deeper into the context. And in that same prophecy from Isaiah 9, never do you see the word justice separated from peace. that Jesus comes not just to bring justice or not just to bring peace, but peace combined with justice. Oh, for those of you that are looking at the study helps, we point you in that direction and urge you to think about these other clusters of stars that we simply aren't able to talk about. Suddenly this week, we jump all the way to Isaiah 40. Where have we come from? There are people in history that look at the author of Isaiah 1 through 39 as different from the author of Isaiah 40 through 66. In the study helps this week, we'll explain how more and more are starting to see it as one author. And there are many reasons for seeing that. One of which is that 12 times in Isaiah 1 through 39, the Holy One of Israel is mentioned. 14 times in Isaiah 40 through 66. And only 6 times in the rest of the Old Testament. So there are many reasons where we might want to hold this book together. But even as we look at Isaiah 40, we have to not look at this star, not look at this star, not look at this star, from about 1,000 stars that we could look at from Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 begins, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God." And then it brings up 3 voices that speak comfort. One in Isaiah 40 through 3 through 6, don't look at it yet. It says, "A voice of one calling, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord." For those of you familiar with Scripture, you know where that takes you. To John the Baptist, where these same words are announced as fulfilled in him. And then Isaiah goes to a second voice, "Cry out." And I said, "What shall I cry?" And it goes on to talk about the depths of sin in humanity. And that should take us in a different direction. But with that introduction, I want to focus us, try to say to you as you stand next to me, I want to look at this star. Let's look at just the star that's mentioned in Isaiah 40, verses 9 through 11, as we, through this whole service, celebrate what's announced by the prophet as words of comfort, pointing to Jesus. Here is your God. And what I would like to do is read that star with you, that prophecy with you, and very briefly look at what do we see of that prophecy about Jesus then, during his earthly ministry, now as he's present with us, and even more then when he comes again. And then look at what Isaiah 40 verses 9 through 11 say about what this means for us now, that Jesus is the one about whom we can say, here is your God. So join me in a prayer, and then I want to invite you to open your Bibles with me. We urge you here at the International Church to bring your own Bible so that we can look at it in your own heart language. We don't jump around. We try to stay with one passage as much as possible. Would you join me in a prayer? Father in heaven, what riches about you we have already seen this morning. What riches about your presence amongst us we have already experienced this morning. And we pray that through this passage, your Spirit would open our minds and our hearts and our lives to what is real about you. Not just when we come to church on a Sunday and then it fades from the rest of our week, but what is real about you always. Work amongst us with power, even yet now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, let me invite you to look at Isaiah 40. Let me just focus on verses 9 through 11, which some of you have already heard a couple times in this service. The prophet announces, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God," and then continues to say, "You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power. He rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. Here is your God. Again, in the study helps, we'll share more about the context in which Isaiah gave these words, but let me simply focus on what we see in those words about Jesus then, now, and even more when he comes again. And then simply from this passage, what does that mean for us? So what do we see in that passage about Jesus? The first thing that I have stated so many times in the service is that in Jesus, our God is here. Now, in order to understand those words of Isaiah, I do need to draw from what he says earlier in the passage in speaking about the coming of John the Baptist, who also announces the coming of Jesus. For in Isaiah 40, verse 5, listen to what the prophet says would be said about Jesus, who is God, is here. From Isaiah 5, the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. So when we think about Jesus as our God is here, one of the things that Isaiah wants us to think about in this passage, again, there's other passages where we're invited to think other thoughts as we look at other stars pointing to Jesus. But in this passage, he wants us to realize that when we think of Jesus as our God here, we see in Jesus the glory of God. We don't see in Jesus some dim reflection, some dawning light that never becomes full. But we see in Jesus the glory of God. And when we move to the New Testament, we see that that glory is especially displayed in his truth and in his grace. So as we see Jesus, we see God's glory. But notice what it also says in Isaiah 40, verse 5, speaking about our God is here, is that this glory is revealed in Jesus. It is no longer hidden. So sometimes people in the world say, we don't see Jesus. But that doesn't change the reality that the glory of Jesus has been revealed. It's not a secret. It's not hidden. Oh yeah, Jesus is real, but I'm sorry, you just can't see it. Jesus is real and his glory is shining. Yeah, but it's hidden from you. The glory of Jesus is no longer hidden, but it's revealed. It was revealed in history and by the Holy Spirit. It's revealed in our hearts. And then look further what it says in 40 verse 5. And all people will see it together. It's a glory that God's people see together, and it leads them to say, wonderful. When you look at the first four books of the New Testament, you saw how that happened at that time. When you look at the book of Acts, which we'll be studying starting in January, you see how people after the resurrection saw that glory of Jesus together. But you know that yourselves. One of the delights that God has given this community is we are starting to talk about Jesus together. We're not just talking about this thing and that thing and what we do and where we work and connections like that, but we're starting to share the glory of Jesus that we are experiencing that's being revealed in our lives together. And the beauty is that when you share with me what you're seeing of Jesus, it changes my life. And when we share together, we are being enabled to see the glory of Jesus together, which is part of the reality of Jesus amongst us now. But this passage says more about what we see of Jesus then, now, and even more when he comes again. In the passage, it speaks about, here is your God, and then it says, see the sovereign Lord. that what we see in Jesus is not just some person helping to reveal God. Not just someone who touches certain lives or certain nations or certain communities, but we see one who is the sovereign Lord. He is the absolute monarch. He is over all and in all and through all. I remember in university when I first heard the concept of the Lordship of Christ. It's the same concept, that there is not any dimension of our life, there's not any aspect of the world in which we live where He is not the sovereign Lord. We might wonder how that Lordship is expressed, but it doesn't change the reality. Here is our God who reigns now because of His resurrection as sovereign Lord. And then look at what the passage says. He comes with power. He comes with power. And then, during His reign on earth, what was one of the things that people said often? Wow, with what authority He teaches. Wow, with what authority He forgives sins. Wow, with what authority He heals. And that power is present with us now. And when He comes again, He will come with power and make finally all things completely new. The passage goes on then to say about He who is with us, that He rules with a mighty arm. And this image makes you think of a ruler of a nation. And the ruler of a nation we see throughout the Old Testament, often the concept was with a mighty arm. And this idea is that even kings and nations sit under His rule. He rules over kings and nations. And as we go through Isaiah, Isaiah has much to say about the rule of Christ over kings and nations. And He rules over kings and nations mightily. Mightily. And then He goes on to say His just reward is with Him. That He comes knowing what's in your heart already. Knowing what's secretly in your lives already. Knowing everything about you. There is nothing hidden from Him. So He comes making clear to us that what we choose now matters to Him. And if we choose not to live under His Lordship, when He comes, He will make that known to you. And when we choose to live under His Lordship, He will make that known to you. If we choose not to live in His grace, when He comes, He will make that known to you. What a rich reward we have in Him. His grace. Amen. Thank you. Some of you still fall into the trap. Oh, Jesus is coming with rewards, so I need to do this and do that so that I earn His rewards. His reward is the full measure of His grace. His glory is full of grace. Oh, and when He comes, that we would come ready for the full expression of His grace. And then the passage goes on to say that He who is with us is like a shepherd of a flock. And look at the language that's used here. He tends His flock. He doesn't just watch over them. But He tends them. Oh, you have some special needs. Let me come alongside of you. Hey, let's come alongside of her. Let's come around them. He tends that flock individually, tenderly, lovingly. We also see that He pays special attention to those who are newborn, the tender lambs amongst us that are too fragile to walk on their own feet, so that He gathers them in His arms and rubbing their feet, helping them become well so that they can walk on their own with Him. He carries them close to His heart so they hear His heartbeat, So they know the depths of His love, know the completeness of His love. He holds them close to His heart. And He gently leads those who have young, knowing the added burden that people carry when they start to get involved in the lives of those who are just beginning to discover Jesus. Wow. What do we see of Jesus through this prophecy then and now and even more then? Truly, in Him, our God is here. So what does that mean for us as we look at the passage and sift away from it all the things we don't have time to talk about? There's at least three things that it means for us now. First, we do not need to be afraid. Lift up your voice. Do not be afraid. We do not need to be afraid, for He is with us. And when we're afraid, He doesn't say, "What's wrong with you?" He holds us close. And when we're injured, He takes us into His arms. And when we're not sure where we're to walk, He leads us. We don't need to be afraid. What did Jesus say to His disciples more often than anything? Fear not for. Fear not for. I am with you. And when He was going to leave and they were kind of nervous, what did He say? Fear not, for I will be with you always. But there's something else that what we looked at about Jesus can mean for us. Look at what it says. Lift up your voice. Lift it up, you who bring good news. Lift up your voice. One of the things that these qualities of Jesus mean for us is that we can lift our voice to Him. And He hears us. God doesn't hear my prayers. God doesn't care for me. You're wrong. The reality of Jesus that we've talked about says you are wrong. He hears your voice. And He teaches you to hear His voice. Thanks be to God for that reality. And we hear His voice of glory. We hear His voice of presence. We hear His voice of lordship. We hear His voice of power. We hear His voice of mighty arm. We hear His voice of grace. We hear the voice of a shepherd. And we start to learn to share our voice to Him. And finally, the obvious. We have good news to share. We have good news. This is good news. So when you run into each other on the street, do you have any good news today? I have good news. God is with us. God is here with us. And let me share with you some other good news. Hey, and now on the street we can say to each other, hey, let me show you the star. I've been thinking about this star. And then we share another star about Jesus we've seen. But the point is, we have good news in Him that will never end. It will never end. What was then, what is now, will even be more when He comes again. So how do we celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning? Why don't we bring in the riches of what we're discovering about Jesus over this last week and see this as a banquet or as a sign and a seal of these stars of His glory that we're discovering together? And to help us in that, I'd like to ask Tolganai and Venera to remind us of some of the passages that we've spoken over the past weeks that might bring us to this celebration of Jesus.